Okay, welcome everybody. Welcome to the Gustavus City Council regular meeting. Today is August 10th, 7 o'clock. And I'd like to call our meeting to order. Madam Clerk, can we have roll call?
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Here.
Councilmember Clark?
Here.
Mayor Cassapit?
Here.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Here.
Councilmember Warner?
Present.
Councilmember Owens?
Yep.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
And there are seven members present and a quorum exists.
Okay, thanks. And next, Vice Mayor Cannamore, would you like to read our vision?
City of Gustavus vision statement. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources and with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Okay, thank you, Brittany. Next, before we get further into the meeting, wanted to ask the public listening in to please mute your phones and keep video off if you're listening, if you're joining us by video conference. The meeting will be recorded and posted to the website later this evening, and the clerk will be sharing her screen, projecting our packet onto your phone screen, onto your computer screens. If you would like to speak during the public comment, please click the participant button at the bottom of your screen and click the raised hand. And if you're using your computer when it's time to speak, it's easiest just to hold the space bar down on the keyboard while talking to temporarily unmute. Okay, next on the agenda is approval of minutes. Entertain a motion for approval of our July 13th, 2020.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve by unanimous consent the general meeting minutes from 7/13/2020.
Taylor seconds.
Okay. It's been moved to approve by unanimous consent the general meeting minutes from July 13th, 2020, seconded by Member Taylor. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Doesn't appear to be so. Do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the meeting minutes? Doesn't appear any additions or corrections there. So hearing no objections, the motion is passed by unanimous consent, and we'll move on to the next topic. Next is our mayor's request for agenda changes. I didn't have any changes agenda. Is there any objections to adopting this agenda by unanimous consent? Okay, hearing no objections, the agenda is set by unanimous. And before we get into committee and staff reports, I wanted to read something into the record, and folks listening can listen in to what I'm going to read. But it's dated today, and it's in a letter of appreciation to our Library Administrative Director, Bree Olson. And it reads, as you continue your journey, it is with great pleasure and a bit of sorrow that we recognize you for your 5+ years working at the Gustavus Public Library. During your time at the library, you have been an integral part of its success in becoming a focal point of the community. Your leadership, teamwork, outreach, and response to the needs of our townsfolk have been transformational for the library. The city council, staff, library volunteers, and interns send you off with a list of platitudes and recognition of your contributions to the library and the community. Bree, you will always be a part of the city staff and family, and you will be missed. We look forward to seeing you at functions or during your walks around town. From all of us, thank you. And it's signed by all of us here at City Hall and the council. And just a personal note, I really want to appreciate Bree for all her hard work, seen it in action, and we're going to miss you. Thank you. Okay, first on the agenda is going to be our Fire Chief Miller, and he'll be giving us our Fire Department COVID-19 update. Take it away, Travis.
All right, thank you, Cal. I just want to give you guys a quick update at the numbers. I am pretty sure that you, Karen, is showing that we had our third COVID case. That was on August 4th. That was a traveler that came in that was tested positive at our airport screening tent. So that's our third case that we've had. All three are non-resident travelers coming into the town. You can switch it, Karen. So we have officially screened. The numbers that are on this one are a little different on the bottom graph because I've updated it today. We've officially screened 665 interstate travelers out of the 980 that we've counted come off the plane. We didn't count all those people at the beginning of this, but since then, about 1,000 people with 665 interstate, those are all officially tracked. 390 of those people, 59%, have come in with negative results within 72 hours. So that's pretty sweet. And then above that, you guys see the most current testing data that I have from search. 24 people tested at the free asymptomatic testing tent on Saturday. So just remember that every Saturday from here until like December 18th, I believe it is, we have free, anybody can go and test, symptom or no symptom. Can go and test at the clinic. It's a drive-up thing. There's documents on the website. There's search forms that you can fill out ahead of time. Just print 2 copies of those. If you do go do it, that just speeds up that process. I just want to thank the few volunteers and the airport point of entry staff. They had an eventful day at the tent yesterday, right in the middle of the busiest day that we've had, 46 passengers. The tent roof caught a gust and somehow ripped off the top of the tent. If you guys didn't see the skeleton hanging out there today, and Jeff Jarvis with the state came over and helped us a little bit too, getting that back together today. So we all have, we put that tent up now twice in pouring down rain. So it's been pretty fun. Nobody got hurt. That's the best part of all that. I'm working with the point of entry contact for the state, trying to figure out where we're going to go with the screening of passengers and testing of like voucher testing and anybody who wants to, let's say, test before they travel according to the new mandate. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do that and how our contract will be extended. They are going to mass do all the contracts until the end of December is what I've been told. So that we should be able to have something in place, whittled down, obviously, trying to keep a couple people employed to do some sort of testing of people coming in that missed testing somewhere else since we have that availability. Other than that, I don't think I got much more to say at this point unless you guys have some questions. Oh, one other thing, Susan, I did ask Panther would be online, the testing thing, and I still haven't heard back from search on that, but I'll keep plugging away trying to get that answer. Other than that, I'm done.
Okay, any council questions for Travis? No questions for Travis? Joe, go ahead. Joe Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Travis, I noticed that there was one of the crew members on the LeConte tested positive. How will that affect us here in Gustavus?
The only thing that I know about that is that everybody else on that boat tested negative, so it shouldn't affect us at all, as far as I understand. But I'll double check on that, and I'm sure we'll hear somebody might have some more information on that before I do. But as far as I know, it's still plugging along. I haven't heard it's canceled or anything. I did want to remind everybody that the mandate changes tomorrow. 10 point whatever we're on now changes again, where we're only, you have to have a test within 72 hours basically to come in, or have taken a test within 72 hours. You got to minimize interactions if you have it when you come through the tent or come into town. If you don't have your results and they're pending, you have to quarantine until you get those. And then if you don't have results at all, you have to pay $250 for a test, and you have to quarantine until you get those results and then continue on quarantining until you get your second results. That's for non-residents. Now, all residents, intrastate traveling, and residents can test anytime they travel, whether you travel from out of state or traveled from Juneau to here, or getting ready maybe to travel to Hoonah and you want to test here or something, let's say, to not bring something to the village, another village or whatever. So all of that's changed. I had my last training at 4 o'clock this afternoon on how to roll this out with our team. The program is, I would just check, is still offline. But anybody who's listening that has lodged people, please direct them to the state website. It's like www.alaskasecure.covidsecureapp.com, alaska.covidsecureapp.com, something like that. Anyways, that's the site that everybody has to go to. There's no more paper forms. There's no more of that stuff going on. Anytime you want to travel to get your vouchers to see your results, it's all going to be on this travel portal that the state rolled out. Please log in if you're traveling around to do it that way. That's going to be the quickest, easiest way to do this. Your guests won't stand out in the rain waiting to get in the tent.
Thank you, Travis.
Okay, any more council questions for Travis? Okay, next up we have DRC, Disposal and Recycling Center. Paul, you want to go ahead?
Okay, well, first I'll do my sound check to make sure that my mic's not muted. You can hear me?
Oh yeah, we can hear you. Thanks, Paul.
Very good. You know, I just don't like to make assumptions there. Well, this is my second quarterly report that's done through Zoom. I'm curious to see what happens in November when I'm doing my next one. Hopefully we're getting closer to normal. Although there is, the Zoom one is interesting. I've given you guys my report. I've put a lot of time into doing it to give you updates on the various things going on at the DRC in terms of labor, equipment, maintenance. I'll go into a little more detail on COVID-19 impacts because that really is kind of the theme these days, and just some updates. I want to talk a little bit about the community chest And then I just gave you some capital project summaries and stuff. August, my tradition in August is to give you that other report. That's the facility statistics. And because only a quarter of that has been affected by the COVID crisis, it doesn't show me as much as next year's will. But, you know, how much trash is flowing, or how much waste with the overall conglomerate of recyclable and non-recyclable that is flowing through the facility has not declined to 5 years ago, but it's starting to. And so I'm very curious, the next report of FY21, which I think will really reflect the difference. But as I put in my report, we're basically seeing a normal April in terms of trash volumes going through our facility in the summer, which is very different, but it's, you know, it's kind of, we're functioning. So yeah, the reports are online for members of the public that want to see them if they can't find them in the packet. They're also on the city's website for the DRC. I can just Google it. Or go to the city's website and search for disposal and recycling center. I wanted to talk a little bit about the community chest, because that's been kind of a challenge getting up and going. But my goal is to, September is always pick a month that is, you know, a safe distance away. Hopefully I'll have something to show for it in the November meeting, but I would really like for the chest to be able to open in some way or another next month in September. Trying to figure out how exactly to do that in terms of, is it one party in there at a time? Is it two? I mean, how are people going to meter themselves, and how are we actually going to have a shopping experience and be able to spend some quality time going through things in that building? I mean, we've bought a tent, so we might be able to do some outside as you get into fall. You know, I don't know. But anyway, it's kind of, it's challenging for me. It really is challenging. And with Betsy's resignation, that is all the more challenging to kind of get it up and running. But Annie is helping out, and you know, some other folks are interested in kind of making the chest work. The chest is going to follow the council's mandate. If the council has said, you know, masks on except for these conditions, that is what is going to be at the chest. The council is the deciding body as far as wearing masks at the community chest or any other city facility. So that's kind of our benchmark with that. It's just trying to make the building so it is as safe as possible for the public and for the staff. With installing some plexiglass and some other plastic barriers, I'm hoping to get the floor painted and kind of, you know, have it a little more easier to do cleaning and stuff. But with the airflow being so slow to that building, I just think we really have to, you know, limit how many people are going through there, unless, you know, we don't have a real good benchmark in our community as far as safety level, as far as how many people we can have in a space. Is it zero or is it one? Or, you know, that whole thing is, it's just much harder in the chest because that's a closed off building, and that's where the merchandise is. It's not like we can haul everything outside so people can purchase it. I don't know. It's a challenge. Let's just say that. So yeah, that's community chests. And then there's the updates on the other projects, and I'll leave you all with that unless you have any questions.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Questions from the council? Okay, doesn't appear to be any questions for you, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Okay, next, I see next on the list is Gustavus Children's Enhancement Program. And I believe Britt or Aaron, I think you're on the line. I think I see you. Aaron, if you're on the line, go ahead and start your mission. Okay, looks like we lost Aaron. Why don't we move on to GVA? We'll move on to GVA, and if Erin pops up, I'll try to get her in at the end of committee staff reports. So go ahead, Gustavus Visitors Association.
Hello, this is Leah from the Gustavus Visitors Association. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. So we submitted the year-end report there, and did it by dates because, as you can imagine, being the visitor industry got hit really hard with the whole COVID situation. So we, you know, in this last year or since January, we've been very busy trying to figure out how to have businesses operating and how to have visitors still coming to do their visitations in Gustavus and to protect the community at the same time and protect everybody. So it's been quite the challenge in trying to correspond with everybody and have operations running in with as much safety as possible. So so I've done by a date by date, and you can see everything that we've been doing. Moving forward, we were given the some CARES Act money of 28,000, and our main focus is now what is going to happen next year and what's going to happen to the subsequent years moving, you know, after next year, and how are we going to recover and through economic stabilization, what are we going to do? So we are putting a lot of investment at the moment into marketing Gustavus as a destination, because a huge part of our economy is the visitor industry. So we want to make sure that we are visible for next year. And hopefully we'll be able to conduct our operations in a somewhat normal way in next season and be able to welcome visitors and be open to welcome visitors. So what we've seen within the whole visitor industry across America is we've seen a huge shift from, obviously, from cruise passengers and from big ship vessel passengers to independent travel. We've also seen a shift from international travel, where people would often go to safaris and far away places. America has seen a huge shift to changing their visitation destination next year and 2022 to North America. So people are staying, Americans are staying closer to home, and Americans are choosing independent travel. So that is good news for a location like Gustavus, which is considered a safe and a good place to go and visit. So we want to make sure that Gustavus is visible at a time where people are looking to visit Alaska. So that's our focus for utilizing the CARES Act fund is putting money into the marketing so that we are visible. So I'm going to stop there and open for questions if anybody has any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Any questions for Leah from the council? It doesn't appear to be any questions from the council, but I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you, Leah, for leading GVA in coming up with this. I don't know what best to call it, but the best management practices for visitor businesses operating in Gustavus. I just wanted to thank you for pulling that work group together and coming up with those guidelines. I really appreciate it, and real service to our community. Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I just wanted to give a shout out to say to Leah, congratulations on getting through the process with the Cedar Marketing Group. I think that your work and their work to identify more targeted audience for independent travelers and who to focus marketing on is going to prove to be really helpful for the city and for our tourist industry. So congratulations and kudos on getting through the first phase of that process.
Okay, council, any further questions for Leah and GVA? Okay, moving on. Next, Phoebe, did you have anything? Well, I saw Aaron come back online. So Aaron, do you want to give your report for the enhancement program?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you, Cal. And thank you for letting me be a little bit late here. So what you're looking at is our end of year report for the fiscal year ending June 30th. And I just want to thank the council for helping us through this last year. We couldn't have done it without those funds. For this last quarter, we really didn't have much going on. We've been closed due to COVID since March 16th. So we do not have preschool or childcare operating. We still have no idea when we might open again. In the meantime, we don't have any staff on payroll. I've been hired just as an independent contractor, just to do the bare minimum as far as compliance goes, to make sure that our money is safe and we're staying compliant with the city, the state, and as a federal employer. Pretty exciting picture you saw on the first page is a huge addition to the building that was part of the deed grant that we got. So that will make it so we have a much larger capacity, as well as being able to split age groups once we do open again, and it could be an office space. So then going on to our financial statements, I'm not going to go into detail about anything in there unless there's any questions. Other than to say that we ended the year at a total profit of about $50,000. I want to make it super clear that that's really because we got $32,000 in COVID money, not from the city COVID money, but other COVID money, $32,000 there. And then we saved $27,000 in program payroll for the last few months being closed. So we do have about $50,000 in the bank. And so that does set us up pretty nicely for whenever and however we do open in the future. And again, we couldn't have done that without the city. So thank you again. And then there's the balance sheet kind of showing the same thing where our finances are at. And that's about it, unless there's any questions. I guess I'll just say as well, this is kind of our final report to the city. You shouldn't see us on the agenda for this fiscal year, since we're not receiving any money from the city general fund or from the COVID funds at this point. So thank you again. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Aaron. Any questions for Aaron? Doesn't appear to be any questions from the council. So again, thank you, Aaron. And we'll move on now to Phoebe for our monthly financials. Phoebe, did you want to say something?
No, I don't have anything unless people have questions.
Mike Taylor, go
ahead. Yes, Phoebe. I'm wondering what you're thinking about how we deal with Trump's, in my view, idiotic payroll tax holiday declaration. I think it's a disaster, you know, for the country's system, both for employers and for Social Security recipients and Medicare and so forth. But so who knows how it's going to work out. But I'm wondering if you've given thought to whether we continue to withhold those funds through the end of the year, which is what I would suggest, that we continue to withhold in the normal way and put it in account to save it so that when it does come due, presumably after the first, we don't have to try to collect it or claw it back from employees. So have you given that any thought yet, or where do you think we ought to go on that? Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. I have not really delved into it yet. I was waiting to see kind of what started shaking out here in the next week or two. We just do monthly payroll, so I won't need to know what we're doing until the 28th of the month. QuickBooks does all of our withholding automatically, so through our payroll subscription. So I'm not sure I could bypass it or not, but I'm definitely paying attention to it, and a deferred taxes seems kind of like a nightmare, but there was to try to fix later on. So I'm in wait and see mode right now. Luckily we have a couple weeks.
Thank you very much.
Okay, any other questions for Phoebe? Okay, next is Tom, as your report. Tom, go ahead and you can start here.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Good evening, Gustavus. On my report, we'll see our progress so far with the CARES Act grant reviews. We've done 2 weeks worth of reviews, as you can see there with the tables. We go through the different applications, we evaluate for compliance, then we will forward those that we recommend for approval to the mayor. The mayor will determine whether or not the applications are approved, and then we will notify the applicants of the approval. Some of the applications go into requests for more information. We'll send out letters. They are pending until we can get the information we're looking for and then be able to make a decision from that. So we've done 2 weeks. This week, we don't have any applications to review, but we do have some pending applications that we'll be able to look at the additional information and hopefully determine what to do with those applications. So far, we have spent or obligated about $311,700 of the CARES Act money. We are looking to do a work session on Wednesday, beginning at 5:30, to discuss additional projects or uses of the funds so that we can get that first initial amount of CARES Act money spent and get the second allocation for the city. I have a couple other topics. Are there any questions on the CARES Act grant or the CARES Act money? Okay. I do have an update on the intertie. Jay Colson is online and he's going to give us an update on that project. Jake, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, thank you.
All right, great. My connection seems a little bit choppy, so if we cut out, I'll send some notes to Karen that she can distribute. But the basics, I guess, since we haven't provided an update, at least in the last few weeks, are that so AP&T, which is the contractor for the intertie, they recently submitted their design plan along with a pricing breakdown that our the Park Service Denver Service Center, so that's our lead contracting office, is doing a technical evaluation of that design plan. They're going to verify that the pricing is reasonable, and we expect those results probably this week or next. Another update is that we're doing some reprogramming, and that is that we're asking for some additional federal funds to cover construction costs that came in a little higher than our estimate. And a lot of that is due to some unforeseen tax burden that will go against AP&T. They'd requested funding to cover some of that. So that effort's happening at the same time as this technical evaluation. That should be wrapped up pretty soon as well. Also, I think since last time, AP&T reps have agreed in principle with our maintenance agreement for AP&T to maintain the NPS generators. The last remaining part of the contract agreement structure is the rate structure for how much power will cost the park. That's a separate process that's largely outside of our control, so I don't have any updates on that right now. And then one thing specific to the city is that NPS requested that AP&T provide at least an annual usage report, and that's something that then we can the park can in turn share with the city to show the extent that each facility is providing power, and that's, you know, dividing the power between the hydro plant, AP&T's Gustavus plant, and the NPS Bartlett Cove plant, and the point of that is to show how we're honoring let's see, I've got it here, City Resolution CY1709, and that was the resolution that requested that we keep the NPS plant as part of a microgrid, and it also that resolution lined out that excess demand shouldn't be generated at the Gustavus plant, but at the Park Service plant. So this is a kind of an extra measure we've added to try to honor that. Let's see, and I guess one more thing is just a note that you know, this contract has taken quite a bit longer than we expected. It's really non-traditional how we've morphed a contract and an agreement, these different processes. We've had a bunch of legal concerns with leasing a utility, some finance issues, and honestly, I guess the superintendent said that I should share that you know, the contract would be kind of dead on arrival right now if it wasn't for the combination of AP&T, the city, the park, and our congressional delegate kind of pushing it through. There's been hurdles every month or so that could be enough to halt it. And as of right now, it looks like we're in pretty good shape. And we should wrap up those final few agreement things pretty shortly. I think that's about it, unless you guys have any questions for me.
Thanks, Jake. I do see some hands up, so if the mayor wants to take over, great.
Yeah, I saw Mike's hand up first, so go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. I just wanted to confirm, I guess the city won't need to lease the plant either from the NPS and then on to AP&T as part of this arrangement.
Yeah, you cut out there a little bit, Mike, but I believe you're asking about whether the city needed to be involved in any leasing of the generator systems. And part of the legal review, we found that step would not be needed. And we will keep the Park Service generators as Park Service owned, and AP&T is working on the final part of an agreement where they can maintain what would be the Park Service system without the extra added step of having the city be a leasee.
Thank you.
Susan, you had a question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Jake, thank you for the report. It's welcome to hear a word. Is there any discussion yet of a planned construction start date? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. Yeah, I probably should have started with that, but that's still an unknown as we finish the final documentation. I think considering the workload of compliance things that AP construction, I think that would push it till next spring, I think at the earliest. And I know they're motivated to do construction as soon as possible. So with that thinking, in line with that thinking, I think they're pushing for construction in the spring.
Okay, Joe Vanderzijn, a question?
Yeah, Jake, does the plan call for wire and fiber to go all the way back to the Gustavus diesel plant, or is it still starting at Good River Corner?
Oh, let me make sure I'm not muted. Boy, it's been a little while since I looked at the construction documents. It is that let me make sure I get it right. The communication wiring goes all the way from the Gustavus plant to a junction area within the well within the park. So that's just for communication line. The power line, I believe, and I haven't seen their final technical drawings, but the original plan was the power line goes from Good River Corner to the depot within the park. And I think that's still the case unless their technical plan has something different.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, any other council questions for Jake before moving on with Tom's report? Susan, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, Jake, do you think it would be possible that when that design process is completed, that a copy of the the design plan could be shared with the city? I know that there's a lot of folks who would be very interested to see that once it's approved.
Yeah, I'll look into that, and I'll route an answer to that through Karen next week.
Great, thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Jake? Okay, continue on.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jake. There's a couple other topics that will be discussed by the mayor later in the meeting, generated by some public comment. The mayor is going to address a National Geographic veterinarian visit, and he's also going to discuss some information about trees and other vegetation over at the satellite dish. Was something that we were both working on, and the mayor was going to provide an update on that. But my last item has to do with something that we've been working on the last few weeks, and that's the ferry operations. On I think it was July 29th, we sent a letter to Admiral Tom Barrett, who's heading up the governor's reshaping plan for the ferry system. The subject of Admiral Barrett's request for a response had to do with community priorities and needs, what he classified as essential operational needs. And the mayor signed a letter, sent it off, and explained in some detail about what Gustavus needed as a minimum and why we needed it, how we're unique from not only other roadless communities, but why we're unique in terms of people, goods, and services. Then the mayor followed up with a mayor's conference call, I think it was Friday last week, and he'll discuss that call in a moment. And then today we received a request from Department of Transportation on another layer of input on the winter operating schedule and looking at what communities need as critical service for the winter months. You may be able to see a proposed operational plan. Anyone in the public who can't find that can send me an email and I'll shoot them a copy of the PDF. It is a draft, but it does show the LeConte in service through February, where it enters the overhaul period until April. So unlike where we've seen in the past that the LeConte goes into the yards followed by a layup beginning in, say, mid-October, we are going to see ferry service until February if the draft plan is realized. What we don't know is the frequency of the port calls. If you take a look at that draft operational plan, you'll see that it just shows that it's in service working with the Northern Peninsula. So that could, in concept, include the Lynn Canal route, as well as Sitka, Cake, Angoon, and some of the other usual ports of call. So we don't really know exactly what we're going to get. We do know a little bit of information on how the ferry is proposed to stay in service. That letter just got signed this evening. We'll get a copy of that out to the council members. And then both the reshaping plan letter and the letter on the operational plan will get posted on the webpage for the public if they're interested in looking at what the letters have to say. I was speaking to Council Member Warner earlier today about how we normally have those letters posted on the reading board at City Hall and how COVID has changed the way we have to do things. Sometimes these letters don't get out to the council or may not get put on the webpage for the public to see. So we're going to work diligently to ensure that all the correspondence that affects the community is out to the council members and posted on our webpage. Mayor, do you want to talk about the conference call you were on last week?
Normally, I guess I would put this stuff at the end or council comments, but I wanted to keep our AMHS comments maybe together. On last Thursday, I did participate with AML in a recorded Zoom conference with other coastal mayors from Ketchikan to out to False Pass and out the Aleutian Chain. Most every community was represented. We had 1 minute and 30 seconds to state our case for the ferry system. And basically all this information was recorded and collected together, and it's being delivered to Admiral Barrett for him and his group to look at, the reshaping group to look at. You should have all seen the original letter I sent to Admiral Barrett a couple of weeks ago. I know Karen sent it out. I did get a nice response from Mike on that letter as well. Along with a two-page letter asking his answering his specific questions of us, I also included all the correspondence we've sent to DOT and the governor regarding the ferry system going back, I think, until 2017, and it was a stack of papers. they got all our past comments as well. Anyway, that's kind of wanted to fill you in on that. If anybody had any questions on what that meeting on Thursday was all about, again, it was trying to put a bunch of information about the impacts on coastal Alaska in a very concise, easy understand format for Admiral Barrett and the reshaping work group. Any questions or comments about AIM? Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to compliment you and thank you for the outstanding job you've been doing in following and staying on top of this issue of trying to preserve our ferry service. When our December infrastructure survey went out, it was at the very top of the list that was important to people in the community. So thank you for being so faithful about staying on top of responding to all these requests and advancing our needs. So thanks.
Well, I appreciate that, Susan. Thank you. And, you know, it's going to continue. I hope it gets settled soon and we come up with a stable system that we can all count on. But I'm afraid there's going to be work on future councils on this issue. I just don't see it solving itself very easily, very quickly. And I just hope that everybody continues to work on this and push the noodle up the hill, if you will. So thanks, everyone. Now we're
thanks, Mayor. About
public comment on that. Okay. Go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Nope. I was just going to say thank you. That concluded my report, unless there were any questions.
Okay. Any final questions for Tom? Okay. Doesn't appear to be. Okay. We're on to public comment on non-agenda items. This is a time for the public to comment on non-agenda items, and it's not intended for discussion on things that are on our agenda. If you would like to make a public comment on a non-agenda item at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. State your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. And we'll have another opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items at the end of the meeting as well. And then the council may ask clarifying questions of you if they have them. So anyway, is there anybody on the line that wish to make a comment on a non-agenda item? Okay, I see Justin Marchbanks. Go ahead.
I just quickly wanted to thank everyone on the council. It's been an extremely difficult cycle with the various issues, the budgeting, the COVID. I don't think a lot of people on the outside can fully appreciate what everyone there on the council has gone through, the sleepless nights, all the things that occur when you're a council person. And so I really want to give my thanks to all you folks there. I know you've had some difficult decisions, and it's not been a lot of fun, as I can imagine, but everyone is stuck with it, which is really cool. And just thank you very much. I know that we all don't always agree on everything that comes around, and that's okay. But you folks have done a really good job in a really tough time. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Any questions for John? Okay. Anybody else wish to offer a public comment on a non? No additional public comments on non-agenda items. We are now on to the consent agenda. There's six items on the consent agenda. I'm going to go through them all here and list them out and give you a little summary of what each one is doing. The first three items are NCOs. They're all being introduced for public hearing. The public hearing will occur at our next general meeting on the 21st of September. So the first one is FY21-04 NCO. It's introducing introduction of an amendment to department budgets for FY21. And you can see that on the screen. FY21-05 NCO, it's introduction for the transfer from AMLIC CARES account. Scheduled for public hearing on September 21st. This basically moves our first round of AMLIP's relief, it moves our first a set of invoices for our CARES Act Relief Fund, takes it from the AMLIP's account and puts it into our checking account for use. FY21-06 NCO, it's introduction of a property sale of Engine 27. Public hearing will be scheduled for September 21st. Item D is approve the calculation of our endowment funds grant amount for the 2021 award cycle. If folks want to look in there, I just cut to the chase on that, and it's basically right about the same amount we had as last year for distribution, right in the same ballpark. Use the same methodology and all. We're also going to, on the consent agenda, is approve the amended project scoping for the library roof and building repair. And along with that is approving the issuance of the library roof building repair request for proposals. Do any members of the public wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda? This will be removed from the consent agenda and moved to new business so that they fully discussed and moved in that process. Is there any members of the public who wish to remove any item from the? Okay, doesn't appear to. Council members, do any council members wish to remove any item from the consent agenda and move it to new business? Okay, it doesn't appear to be any requests to remove to consent agenda. So I would entertain a motion for adopting the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
Anna Moore seconds.
Okay, it was moved to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent by member Joe Vander Zanden, and it was seconded by Vice Mayor Cannamore. So since there's no objections, then hearing no objections, the consent agenda is passed by unanimous consent. Thank you. Okay, next is three NCOs for public hearing. We'll go through the same process for all of them. We have the first one up for public hearing is FY2101 NCO. It's the return of FY20 road maintenance funds introduced last month on July 13th. Do any members of the public wish to speak on this NCO? Doesn't it appear to be any public wish to speak on this NCO? Therefore, I'm going to close the public hearing. I would now entertain a motion to approve this FY21-01 NCO return of FY20.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve FY21-01 NCO return FY20 road maintenance funds.
Second.
Mayor will second. I'll give the second to Taylor. So I was moved to approve FY2101 NCO, a return of FY20 road maintenance funds. Motion by member Warner, second by member Taylor. Any discussion on the motion? No discussion. Karen, can we have a roll call?
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden.
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore.
Yes.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, thank you. Next is FY21-02 NCO. It's the transfer of FY21 road maintenance funds. Do any members of the public wish to speak on this motion, on this proposed NCO? I see no members of the public wishing to speak on this. Therefore, I'm closing the public hearing on this, and I will now entertain a motion for approving FY21-0.
Mr. Mayor, this is Councilmember Taylor. I move to adopt FY21-02 NCO to transfer FY21 road maintenance funds as introduced on 7/13/2020.
Warner second.
It's been moved by member Taylor, seconded by member Warner to approve FY21-02 NCO transfer of FY21 road maintenance funds. We introduced this July 13th, 2020. Any council comments?
It's kind of it's almost like we might consider it gallows humors, but if you notice, this pretty much zeroes out our basically it zeroes out the Forest Service road maintenance money that we've been receiving. So now we don't have that, and we don't have those savings of Forest Service receipts anymore, and this is the last of it. So anyway, any comment? Okay, Karen, roll call.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Mayor Cassaput?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, third, next on the agenda is FY21-03-NCO. This is our AMLIP FY21 Repair and Replacement Contribution introduced last month on the 13th, July 13th. And I would now open it up for public hearing for any public who wish to speak on our repair and replacement contract. Not seeing any public comment on the AMLIP repair and replacement contribution. I'm now closing the public hearing on this NCO. I will now entertain a motion to approve this item, FY21-03 NCO.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is Councilmember Clark. I move to approve FY21-03-NCO AMLIP Fiscal Year 21 Repair and Replacement Contribution as introduced 7-13-2020.
And a more second.
Okay, it's been moved. By Member Clark and seconded by Vice Mayor Cannamore to approve FY21-03 NCO, the AMLIP FY21 Repair and Replacement Contribution. We introduced this July 13th, 2020. Now open to the council for comment. Mike, I saw your hand first.
Yes, I just want to note for the public listening that this brings our balance of money that we're setting aside specifically for repair and replacement of our infrastructure facilities to $312,000. And that's a pretty substantial amount of money that we put aside. And we've only been doing this account for several years. But I think it shows the responsibility that our administration and councils have been showing towards fiscal, our fiscal future and being ready for unforeseen problems that may require a major repair, that sort of thing. We're doing pretty well with this. And so I just wanted to note that that should be giving us confidence about our fiscal future.
Thank you, Mike. Any other comment from council?
Go ahead, Joe. Understanding?
Yeah, I was just wondering if this account is eligible to be drawn on for library roof repair.
Thank you for that question, Joe, but I'm looking at Phoebe, and I think the answer is yes. What's that? Oh, she's giving me a look. Go ahead, Phoebe. Don't want to speak.
Yes, thank you. We have drawn out the funds that had been set aside for repair and replacement for that particular asset already as part of the capital project to repair the roof. So we put aside a certain percentage each year, and that amount that had been set aside for the library has been drawn out for the roof repair.
Thank you.
Susan, your hand went up. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a quick question for Phoebe. I thought the library roof repair money was coming out of long-term capital improvement.
It's coming out of both. We've already pulled out what was set aside out of the repair and replacement, and now that we're funding it additionally for a more extensive repair, that's coming out of the long-term capital improvement pot of money savings.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comment on this FY2103 NCO, our repair and replacement contribution for FY21? Okay, Karen, roll call, please.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit.
Yes.
Councilmember Warner.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor. Councilmember Taylor.
Sorry, hit my space bar and it didn't unmute me. Yes.
Okay. Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Yes.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Cannamore.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 7-0.
Okay, we're on to new business. We have three items for new business this evening. The first one is an introduction for public hearing on September 21st, FY21-07 NCO. It's the introduction of our capital projects funding for this year. I would entertain a.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to introduce FY21-07 NCO capital projects funding for a public hearing on September 21st, 2020.
I second that.
Taylor, second.
Okay, it's been moved by Vice Mayor Cannamore to introduce FY21-07 NCO, seconded by Member Clark. This is the introduction of our capital projects funding. It'll public hearing next meeting. Any public comment on Okay, no public comment. It's now before the council for deliberation. Anybody wish to provide comments about our introduction of our capital projects funding, our amendment for our capital project? No comments or questions. I guess we'll go to a roll call vote. Karen?
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit? Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, next on our agenda is introductions is the introduction of proposed changes to sections 4.13.070 FY21-08. It's a change to our section 4.13.070. This deals with the permissible investments for our endowment fund. I'll go on to we'll go on to discuss this further upon a motion for the table.
Mr. Mayor, would you like me to make a motion on that at this time, or do you want to go?
Please, let's
to another step.
Have a motion on this so we can get on the table for discussion. We need a motion to get on the table.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we introduce proposed changes to section 4.13.070, endowment fund permissible.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved to introduce FY2108, which deals with proposed changes to section 4.13.070, moved by Member Warner, seconded by Member Clark. It deals with our endowment fund permissible investments. Let me, for the public who's listening and for folks who are listening, if you recall last month, we were talking about levels of risk and investment income from our endowment fund. Basically, the way we left it back then, if we were to stay with the existing investment allocation that's in the section 4.13.070, we would have to accept without accepting any more risk that's outlined in the existing 4.13.070, we would have to have less earnings available for distribution in our annual request for proposals, request for endowment funds projects. So with this proposed change to section 4.13.070, it allows our fund managers to take a little bit more risk in the investments of our endowment fund to try to maintain our current level of distribution, to maintain about our current level of distribution of funds for endowment fund projects. So that's what the intent of this proposed changes to the section does, is to basically allow, is basically helping us to maintain the our existing levels of earnings so that we can maintain existing endowment fund distributions. Anyway, Phoebe, I see your hand up. I'm going to, correct me if I'm wrong. I might have got that wrong, but I'll let.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to clarify that last month the council passed a resolution establishing the asset allocations for the endowment fund for this fiscal year. This code change would not change the result of that asset allocation resolution, but if the council in the future chose to follow the other option that our investment managers presented to the council for asset allocations, this code change needs to be in effect first. So if this code change is introduced and passes the public hearing next month, the asset allocation would remain the same unless the council chose to do a resolution at that time or at a later date. This just simply provides the code change that would allow for that asset allocation to occur that they had presented.
Okay, go ahead, Susan. Sorry, I was having some technical difficulty there. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I just wanted to be certain that I understood what Phoebe just said. For this year, the asset allocation favors a lower distribution for this year, and the similar level of risk is what we passed in that resolution last month. But this code change would allow the council to change that back to a higher level of risk or maintaining the previous level of distribution. Am I understanding that correctly?
Would you like me to answer that, Mr. Mayor? Yes, you have that correct, Susan. The resolution that was passed last month was the more conservative option that maintained our current risk level, which eventually they predict will result in slightly decreased distribution from the endowment fund. That won't affect our endowment fund grant cycle that's about to start next month and would occur in 2021, but it may affect the grant earnings or the grant, the funds available for the grant the following year or subsequent years. But yes, the resolution that the council passed last month maintained the current risk level, which they're suggesting will provide reduced funds availability. This code change would present the option for a different resolution to be passed this year or whenever the council wanted to, that would allow the other asset allocation option. It would maintain our current distribution rate with a slightly higher risk. But you're right.
Okay, is there any more questions for Phoebe from the council on clarification of what we're talking about here? Okay, is there any public comment on this item or introduction of this change to 4.1307. Doesn't appear to be any public comment on this. So now it's to the council for debate and deliberation. And remember, this is, we're only introducing this for a public hearing on September 21st, 2020. Okay, council, any comments or additional questions or comments, I guess? Mike, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to speak in favor of supporting introducing this. We can discuss the merits of it next month, I guess. But I think it's important to get this option on the table. And I expect that I'll be supporting it a month from now. But for now, it's important to get it on the table.
Thank you, Mike. Any other council comment? Okay, I too support putting this up for introduction and getting public hearing on it next month. I too am in favor of the idea. I think this provides some options for the future council to decide what they want to do as far as risk and rewards, I guess. But I do support the idea of providing options for future councils to decide how they want to manage the risk and still provide for a robust endowment fund program. So I'll be seeing. Any other council comments? Okay, Madam Clerk, roll call.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Vanderzanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is going to be a motion to change our work session meeting for next month and our September general meeting next month as well. We want to honor Labor Day holiday, and so I believe Joe Vanderzanden, you may have a motion.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move we change the September 7th work session and the September 14th general meeting to the following respective weeks in honor of the Labor Day holiday.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Vanderzanden and seconded by Member Clark to move the September 7th work session and the September 14th general meeting to the following respective weeks in honor of the Labor Day holiday. Is there any public comment? No public comment. Is there any discussion by the doesn't be any discussion. Madam Clerk, roll.
Councilmember Vanderzanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Susan, did you have something?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. That a schedule change also brought to my attention, we might have a conflict in October as well. If we're pushing the September meetings out, then the present October work session is scheduled for the day before the municipal election on the 5th. Does it make sense to have a work session the day before there are two new members of the council? Or do we want to push that out? And then the next week, the October 12th is Columbus Day, when the present general meeting is scheduled. So at some point, do we also want to consider moving around the October schedule? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Susan. I'll get with staff and figure it out, and we'll have time before the next meeting to figure out what the motion will have to be at the next meeting to get the October meetings properly sequenced. But we'll work with you, staff and I, and you will work together. We'll figure something.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And now we're on to city council reports. I think the only thing on there was, Susan, you had written up a report of the stabilization task force. Did you want to add to that any, or the flow?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the clerk asked me a question about what the Economic Stabilization Task Force had been doing. And even though we've only had the first four meetings, there are strands that are continuing from those meetings. And this report just is an update for some of those ongoing strands. We've got some new things starting up that are very early on in terms of future directions that we might go. And the last page, the second page, if the Madam Clerk could put that up, is the map that was of the LIDAR data. As you may recall, the infrastructure projects, yeah, thank you, Madam Clerk, were, the consensus was to await probably due soon LIDAR project data to help guide what the city strategizes for moving forward on drinking water supply, public drinking water supply, and improving our roads. So this was the map of the Delivery One section of the LIDAR project, and it looks like much of the Gustavus area is outlined in the Delivery One package. And hopefully by the time a few more weeks go by, it might behoove the council to ask Whitney Rapp to come and clue us in when that package actually arrives. So I can't really answer questions about, I don't know if Whitney is on tonight. Nope. So hopefully once this data comes in, which she says is should be very soon now, at least for the Delivery One package, and then we can ask her to come and give us some guidance about it. So I also would like to see if
We can have another economic task force, economic stabilization task force meeting to talk about future funding for the city and strategize some around some of these financial impacts from COVID, changes to state and federal grant money, such as the ending of the forest receipts and a likely decline in some of the other government funding. If the council would be interested in circling the wagons here and seeing if we can scratch our heads about beginning to think strategically about, well, this year the COVID money is really going to help us out to make our budget. But as you know, that money also at this point in time ends December 31st of this year. So I would like to propose having a future funding of Gustavus Economic Stabilization Task Force meeting on the 20th of August, if that would be agreeable to especially our council members who are going to be continuing on into the fall. So would the August 20th be a good day for people?
It's a good day for me, as Councilman Clark.
Okay, I've seen a check from Brittany too, so I don't know. It sounds maybe, Susan, that the 20th sounds okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, we can continue to talk about, you know, having people check their calendars for that date offline. I just want to, since I need to post it as a public meeting, we can maybe talk about that in the next day or two. So thank you. That's all from me, unless anybody has any questions.
Okay, are there any other council, are there any council questions and comments? Okay, I'm not seeing any, so I'm just gonna go ahead and launch in with my two little items that kind of came up here in the last couple of days. First thing was I got an email Sunday from a producer with National Geographic. Apparently there's one of those Alaska reality TV shows. It's called Yukon Vet, and they would like to come to Gustavus towards the end of August, beginning of September. They don't really know dates yet, but they were asking me what our thoughts on that was. They were, you know, they would rent or somehow find some space locally and set up a clinic to tend to our pets and livestock. They were even interested in doing veterinary work for livestock. They've been in the state now, I guess, for a little over a month. They were all tested before they got here. They've all had negative tests. They also have been testing every week, apparently, up there to ensure they stay COVID-free for all their shoots and everything. And they're interested to see what the council thought about them trying to make a visit here with that vet. So anyway, interested in what you guys think. Mike, I see your hand up.
Actually, I put it up to talk about the beach CRMA, but I would note that about 5 years ago, we were approached by the that outfit that did the thing out of Huna on a Brown family and so forth. At that time, we didn't really know much about what they did. And we originally told them they could do it. But then as the day got very close, we realized that what they had in mind was not the kind of story that we wanted to project for Gustavus. And so the city backed out of any support of that particular episode. So I think it'd be good to, I mean, this one sounds much better, but you might want to check to see what the quality of their program is and make sure it's, they're not scripting something that doesn't really fit us at all. So that would be my caution on that. And then, but if you'd come back to me when you're done with that item, I'll give a little report on the beach CRMA.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Susan, your hand is up as well. Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, are you aware that we have a recent emigre to Gustavus who, I believe her name is Susie Schaft, who wants to start a veterinary business here? Would this group be working with our emerging local vet?
I wasn't aware that there was a vet trying to hang a shingle here in this town. I didn't. I sure can mention it to him. Joe Clark, go ahead.
Just from what I've heard here, it sounds like a positive thing for our community. It wouldn't hurt to look into the background of it and see what previous episodes have been like. We'd want it to reflect nicely on Gustavus, but I think it'd be a good thing all the way around, a good revenue generator, and would raise our profile as a community.
Any other council comments?
Oh, Mr. Mayor, this is Shelley Owens. I'm sorry, I got booted out of Zoom a while back and couldn't get back on. I'd be interested in knowing just some details, how many people, how long, where they're going to stay. I'm assuming that they're coming in, if they're calling themselves Yukon Vet, I'm assuming they're coming in from Canada or out of state. So I guess I'd like to see if they can put together a mitigation plan for us to give us some idea of what to expect. And I suppose they'd have to quarantine, you know, during, unless they can provide us with, they would have to just meet our testing and quarantine requirements. Did they give you any idea of how many people and how long they're going to stay?
Thank you, Shelley. They did. They actually are in Haines right now. The vet has a practice in Haines and a practice in Palmer Wasilla. She has practices in both places. The crew currently right now is in Haines. And like I said, they have been in the state now for over a month. They went through their quarantine already and they went through their testing already, and they've been doing the weekly testing. I told them about our requirements for face masks and our existing resolutions and all regarding COVID here, and they understand them. And I would expect that before they do show up, they will have a plan ready to share with us. They made their initial contact with me yesterday. She called me this morning wanting to know what the council thought of it. I'm glad you guys warned me about the Browns. I didn't really think of that until it was mentioned earlier. I certainly don't want to have a situation like that, and I would hope that they would be a bit more professional and a more concerned about the welfare of our animals and the well-being of our animals more than selling advertisement. Anyway, those are all good thoughts, and I'll moving forward with these folks, I'll be sure to involve Fire Chief Miller as well in review of their mitigation plan. But that's something I'll ask them straight up. But as far as numbers, it would be the vet, the producer, and a camera crew. So it'd be less than six people that would be here for that. And they would be bringing all their own disinfecting supplies and sanitation supplies to, of course, keep the exam areas that they would use clean and ensuring that, I would assume that if you're sanitizing to ensure that there's no viruses or bacteria that would harm our pets, that would have the same effect on coronavirus. But anyway, I'll check to make sure with all that stuff with them before proceeding any further. Any other comments or concerns about the potential of a National Geographic vet coming here? Again, I want to say this is not a done deal. She doesn't have permission from National Geographic yet. She's kind of just seeing what we think before she goes to the head office for approval. Anyway, Susan, your hand went up again. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can obtain the phone number for the gal who's trying to start her new business here in September for you, and I'll pass that. I can get that and I'll pass it along to you. I think we should, as a courtesy to somebody who's trying to start a business here, make sure that this is something that would dovetail with our local people as well. So I'll get that phone number to you.
Great, that would be super. And I could talk to the producer about that. Yeah, thanks. Okay, if we're done with that thing, I'm going to want to talk real quickly about the Ox Dish. I think council members should have seen, saw a letter from Jim Kearns about the condition of the vegetation around the Arx dish. It provides, the television service over the airwaves to a lot of local folks. This is their only form of communication to the outside world. As far as getting the communication in, they don't, might not have internet, they might have not have good broadband, what have you. This is a way for a lot of folks that gets for them to get their information. Anyway, apparently the Arx dish has some vegetation growing in and around it, and it's causing problems with reception. I took a look at it this afternoon. I think Mr. Kearns, as he said in his note to us this morning, that he sent pictures to Arx as well, and they sent a note back to him saying, yeah, the vegetation probably is causing a reception problem there. I took a quick look at it, and to tell you the truth, it's not that big of a job. I could probably go down there for a couple hours with a chainsaw and get it all out of the way. It's just moving all the brush after it's cut might be an issue for me. I don't have a place to put it all. Anyway, I was going to kind of work with staff and through the administrative process try to deal with that. I think that's something that we should try to do to provide good reception for the people who need it. I just brought that up. Anybody have any concerns or questions? Go ahead, Joe Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the letter that Mr. Kearns sent to the council, at the bottom, he indicated that he would be willing to do, volunteer work to help remove that vegetation. That could be considered also.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Susan, you had your hand up as well. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, yeah, I think it's a great idea. I would love to see the City Council respond to Mr.
I'm sorry, Susan, you cut out. Can you try that again?
I just thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just said that I thought that was an excellent idea and would be delighted if the council responds to Mr. Kern's request. Thank you.
Shelley, I noticed you came up. Did you have something?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just going to, I've got a battery-operated weed eater I'd be happy to help out. I don't have much time on it, so it would take a couple of trips, but if that's something that could be done now or maybe just for future maintenance, I'd be happy to help out, and I really appreciate the effort.
Well, thanks, Shelley. I appreciate the offer of the weed eater, but these are kind of trees and brush, so it's going to be chainsaw work. So, yeah. Thanks for the offer. Appreciate it, though.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that is all I had. Mike, I think you wanted to talk about the beach. Management plan, and so I'm going to.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a very brief update. We talked about this briefly in the work session, and as you all recall, we Shelley and Tom and I worked together to develop a final draft for us to take as our starting point for negotiations with DNR for an updated CRMA for the beach park. And during the week since our work session, I had forwarded it to Ben DeBoer to get his take on it to make sure that he didn't see any conflicts with the covenants that are included in the quieting title. He said it was just fine with him, and he's here in Gustavus now, 2 weeks off as a break in his nursing school. So he and I have a schedule to walk the beach park tomorrow at 10 a.m. and just chat about how things are going, and he'll have a chance to see some of the things that have happened there in recent weeks, the initial improvements. We also have a beautiful map that was completed by Whitney Rapp to replace the map in the original one that was a little rudimentary. And this is, Whitney's done a great job with it. And so that'll be part of our final draft. We got, I was really pleased with the input that we received from beach advocates who looked over the draft and thought it was a great improvement from the previous one. So we're about ready to raise this with DNR. So that's the next thing on the agenda for Tom and Shelley and me to move this forward. Thanks.
Joe Van Der Zand, and you go ahead.
Mike, I haven't seen the finished draft, but I wondered if there had been any changes in that section of building and structures to where DNR might read that and not assume that definitely can, but that could possibly be considered in the future. This is the old thing of changing will to may. Thank you.
Exactly, Joe. Yes. I haven't actually typed that in yet, but we will before we actually send it to DNR. And but yeah, we're fully in agreement with your suggestion there. And I'll tell you what, I'll type that into the draft and send it to you so you can see how it reads. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, are there any other council questions? Okay, we are now on to the second opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. Is there any members of the public who wish to offer us any comments on non-agenda? Don't see any. Thank you very much. So, with hearing no objections, I am adjourning this meeting. It is 8:55 p.m. Thank you very much for hanging in there, folks. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.